97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the big dog hunt. Hello again, everybody. Joe Stasak with you till 4 o'clock today on 97.5. The Fanatical broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Great job by that This Week in Pro Football staff. That's a great listen, by the way, if you have not heard that show. Great listen. Torty and Callahan do a great job. Tyler Zuli as well chimed in. It's they cover everything. And it was just a pleasure to listen to while I was prepping today for this show. I'm jacked for tomorrow. I want to see the Eagles continue from where they left off against Buffalo. Big 31-13 win. Jordan Howard stole the show. 23 carries, 96 yards. They gave the ball to the backs 31 times for 176. 218 is the total number, but I don't include anybody except the actual backs. I don't include Nelson Aguilar on jet sweeps or Carson Wentz on when he's tucking the ball and running with it. I'm just talking about Byron Scott, Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, Miles Sanders. Pretty good. 31 carries, 176 yards for the Eagles last week. Carson Wentz, he was fine. He was fine last week. I got no problem with what he's done this year, except that he hasn't done too much. He's almost been a game manager. I think he needs to be a lot more than a game manager. I mean, again, his numbers aren't bad. His rating is in the 90s. He has 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. His interception, touchdown to interception ratio is always great. During that 11-2 run 2 years ago, it was 33-7. Coming into the year, totals, it was 70-28. So now it's 84-32. Are his totals, touchdowns to interception. That's phenomenal. He does not turn the ball over, which was their problem in the Minnesota and Dallas games, respectively. They turned the ball over 7 times. They were a minus 3. 7 times, can't do that. Didn't do it against Buffalo. And what happens? What's the result? 31-17, big win. Big-time game tomorrow with the Bears. Bears come in limping at 3-4. Birds are 4-4. Bears had a bye week in there at some point. You know, they have Khalil Mack, but they also have Mitchell Trubisky, so that helps. Just an awful, awful move. I almost feel bad for Ryan Pace and the Bears. Now, maybe I don't in this situation because it was a stupid pick. He played 13 collegiate games, and he became like the buzz pick for that draft. Chicago's sitting at 3, probably could have landed him at 3, but they trade up with San Francisco, give up 2 third rounds and a 4th round to move up 1 spot, and the Niners took Solomon Thomas anyway. So they were probably going to take him at number 2. It was great. I loved it. Fantastic stuff. So they get Trubisky, and he turns out to be, he's a bust in my opinion right now. They passed on Deshaun Watson, and they passed on Patrick Mahomes. It's just incredible. It's incredible. And it's incredibly tough to land your franchise quarterback. There are so many busts out there. Look at Josh Rosen. He's now with the Dolphins and can't beat out Ryan Fitzmagic. Here's a first-round pick. Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold stinks, by the way. People continue to talk about him like he's the next coming of Joe Namath. I don't think he's any good, to be honest. He turns the ball over too much. Had a tough year, mononucleosis, I get all that. Now he's seeing ghosts. I just never thought he was that good. So he may or may not be a bust. You know, Eagles did a nice job. Howie Roseman did a nice job with the Carson Wentz thing, identifying their guy, and I believe that they had a good idea that Jared Goff was going to the Rams, but they would have taken Jared Goff. He could have been an Eagle, and he's done a fine job with the Rams. Once he started learning under the tutelage of Sean McVay and out of the tutelage of Jeff Fisher. Same thing with Nick Foles. Same thing with Case Keenum. They were all horrible there. Jared Goff, Case Keenum, Nick Foles. I mean, you never knew which week who was going to get replaced for the other. They all go their separate ways. Nick Foles becomes a Super Bowl champion. Case Keenum takes his team, the Vikings 13-3, the miracle in Minnesota win, takes them to the NFC title game, and Jared Goff just went to a Super Bowl. What a difference a coaching change makes. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Howie today, Howie Roseman. I've criticized him lately. I've criticized him over the course of his tenure here at times. I laud him for his trades and his free agent signings. Usually does a phenomenal job. If he didn't do what he did in 2017, they don't win that Super Bowl because they don't have a lot of homegrown talent. They don't have a lot of homegrown talent, which is unfortunate because of the third oldest team in the league. Third oldest team in the league. They're going to have to rebuild pretty soon. You can't keep staying afloat, signing free agents, making trades. Remember, those things are designed to get you over the hump, get you to the next level. They're not designed to build your football team around. Sorry, just not. I'm looking at the Eagles' draft picks, and I always compare them to the Cowboys because those are the only two teams that matter in the NFC East. And I don't know if you're going to be surprised because I've been harping on this the last couple of weeks, but the numbers of picks that Dallas Cowboys made, how many impact guys they got since 2014, how the Eagles have one impact guy since 2014, that's Carson Wentz. They need to get younger, and it has to happen fast. So I am okay with Howie Roseman not making a move this week. Well, except for Duke Riley. Whatever. Traded Duke Riley and a 7 for a 6 and bag of peanuts. Whatever. Duke Riley is now starting. Tells you how much their linebacking core is hurting. But listen, teams obviously wanted a lot for some of the guys that I think the Eagles could have targeted. They didn't make it in the Jalen Ramsey sweepstakes. They thought they were okay and didn't go after Jadeveon Clowney. I criticize Howie for that. I saw it coming. A lot of people here saw it coming. They don't have the defensive ends, the caliber of Jadeveon Clowney, not even close. Except for the Jets game, the Eagles have 6 sacks this year. Except for the Jets game. Now, I know they had 10, but that was just a debacle. That's not a normal. I'm talking about playing against decent teams. 6 sacks. Said, you got to trust your roster. Well, no, you don't. If you put one together like you did, Howie. Derek Barnett, first round, average. Brandon Graham, first round under Andy, I think 2010, was it? Howie Roseman was technically the GM then. He's above average, not really an impact guy. Carson Wentz, since 2014, the only impact guy they have drafted. So I'm okay with Howie not moving picks for, like, say, Jalen Ramsey. Well, I probably would have done it for that, for Jalen Ramsey. Because basically what you're doing is, and you talk about, all right, they won 2 first-round picks. Well, one, you're swapping out with Jalen Ramsey, so you're just giving them an additional first-round pick. It sounds different when you say 2 first-round picks. You're getting Jalen Ramsey back. He was drafted in the first round and is a stud. Would you rather have your first-round pick as a crapshoot, or would you rather have a sure thing like Jalen Ramsey? I would have done that deal. I would have done the Jadeveon Clowney deal. Again, you don't build your team through trades and drafts, but if you can get a young guy like Jalen Ramsey, Jadeveon Clowney's not that old, you do it. Those are impact guys. Those are guys who make an immediate impact. Eagles don't have a lot of impact guys. They just don't. And people were talking before the season, most talented roster in the league. Most talented roster in the league. Boy, how wrong that was. Fact is, they're not all that talented, as we found out. And it's not just because DeSean Jackson has been out. Can I stop hearing that, please? It certainly doesn't help, and they can't stretch the field without him. But that's not why their offense has been relatively average this year. They were average last year. You know, yeah, they played well in the Skins game in the second half with DeSean Jackson catching the 53-yarder and the 51-yarder for touchdowns. He helps, believe me, he helps, certainly helps, but he's not going to make this engine go, crank at the highest level it could. They just don't have a lot of talent on this team. They have to draft well. You would say that, well, what do you need the pick? I've said this before. Howie, what are you worried about saving picks for? You stink at drafting anyway. You got to believe in yourself. If you're Howie, I can understand why he would want to save draft picks. They have to rebuild this team really soon. Really soon, they're going to have to rebuild this team. They're not going to have free agents. Don't sign five-year deals. Draft picks do. And they come at a significantly cheaper price than high-paid free agents. And they have to get younger. Third oldest team in the league. Now, that's not the worst thing around. The Patriots are the oldest, and they have been to three straight Super Bowls. The Washington Nationals, the oldest team in baseball, just won a World Series. But the Eagles tend to, in my opinion, well, the Falcons are the second oldest, and they're 1-7. The Eagles look old, and with age comes frailty. And there's a lot of injuries on this team. But they just don't have the talent. Now, good win last week over Buffalo. Really good win. Very impressive win. Fletcher Cox showed up, 6 tackles, 1 sack. Brandon Graham had a nice game, 6 tackles, 1 sack. Actually, Cox had 1.5 sacks. 31 carries for the running backs, 176 yards, like I mentioned earlier. Carson, 17 of 24, 172, 1 touchdown. He's got many games this year under 200 yards passing. That's amazing. And that's amazing. For this offense, it was one of the top offenses 2 years ago. It's really a culture shock watching this offense do what they did last year before Nick Foles. And no, I don't want to make this about Nick Foles. But if you're honest with yourself, he came in, went on the road to L.A., put up 30-plus points, came home to Houston, did the same thing in Houston, had won 10 of 11 games, put up 24 in Washington, won a playoff game on the road. It left us thinking, hey, this was a decent team. You know, they were maybe one Alshon Jeffrey drop away from the NFC title game. Now we're back to where we were last year for most of the year. I'm not blaming Carson Wentz, but I'm just saying he doesn't look like the same guy. The offense doesn't look like the same offense. You can blame it on Frank Reich, and I have, but Frank Reich, neither Frank Reich nor Nick Foles are coming through that tunnel anytime soon. They have to make do with what they had. Doug Peterson, great job last week. Great job against the Bills. They were very strong in many assets of the game. Defensive line was very good. The secondary was very good. Only gave up 13 points. Now, I expected that. Buffalo, one of the most overrated 5-1 teams like in the history of the game. That's just not my opinion. That was a fact. I think Fox put up something in the beginning of the game. Historically and statistically, it was one of the worst 5-1 teams in the history of the game. And they showed it. They can't score. Josh Allen, really? That's why I picked the Birds last week. Had a team meeting. They're average. So they're going to lose some games, but they're also going to win some games. That was I don't think that was a hard pick last week. Over the Bills, yeah, they got spanked on the road in Minnesota and Dallas. Woefully, woefully spanked. Buffalo didn't scare me. Not even a little bit. Defense was overrated. Birds ran all over them. 31 points against that defense. 31 points. You're going to tell me that's a top five defense? But I'm going to give credit to the Birds. I'm not just going to say that, you know, Buffalo's defense fell apart. It was a good win. Had a team meeting. Blocked out all the noise and the inner turmoil. I thought this team meeting, to me, I think team meetings are kind of overrated for the most part. But I thought this was necessary. Before I had even heard that they were going to have a team meeting, I said to myself after the Dallas game and after Orlando Scandrick came out and said those things last Monday or the Monday before. No, it was actually a Thursday. Said this team needs to get together and have a meeting. They have to kind of talk over some things, get some things straightened out, knock off some things, get their heads out of their rear ends. Captains spoke, wanted to eliminate the anonymous quotes. I think that's a good start. Nothing rips the team apart than knowing your teammates are ripping you or ripping the rest of the team or ripping the regime, ripping the game plans. Yeah, the Orlando Scandrick stuff, yeah, I think it made the Eagles look at themselves. And they banded together and came out and walloped Buffalo. So I give them a ton of credit for last week. A ton of credit. Can they do that against the Bears? I think they're going to win again tomorrow. Bears don't scare me. The Bears have one of the worst offenses in the league. Not that the Eagles have a great defense, mind you. But, I mean, Chicago is horrendous. Offensively. 27th in the league in points. Just over 18 a game. Just over 18 a game. They give up 17, which is tied for fifth in the league. And that's the number. That's the magic number. Defensive coordinators will tell you 17 points. That's the magic number. You give up 17 points a game, you're going to win a lot of football games. You're going to go far in the playoffs. Well, that's what they give up. Unfortunately, they only score 18. Well, they're 3-4. They score 18 points a game. 29th in the league in total yards per game. 29th in the league in passing yards per game. 25th in rushing. 26th in third down conversion percentage. Now, defensively, they're pretty sharp. 7th in yards. 6th against the run. 5th against the third down attempts. And tied for 5th in points, like I just said. 17.4. Something's got to give tomorrow. And they have to keep their eye on Khalil Mack. He's one guy you have to know where he is on the field at all times. And last week, I didn't think they pass blocked well against the Bills, especially the left side. Isaac Seumalo, Andre Dillard. You know, he's a rookie. They gave up 3 sacks. A lot of it came from that side. Some of it was unabated to the quarterback. Khalil Mack will mess you up badly. There's a trade that Ryan Pace, you know, it remains to be seen what those first round picks are going to do for Oakland. Give up 3 first round picks for Khalil Mack. They certainly got the best player in the deal. He's an all timer. He's just a wrecking ball. Does a great job removing the football from the quarterback, too. Now, it doesn't just bring down the quarterback. It's always swiping, always swiping. I wonder why guys sometimes have an unimpeded run to the quarterback from behind and don't swipe down with their arms to knock the ball free. They just tackle the quarterback at the waist. He is always grabbing arms, grabbing for the football, creating turnovers. Half the time, he jumps on the ball. He creates his own turnovers. He is just a wrecking crew. Just a wrecking crew. Good old number 52. Got to know where he is. If he's coming from that left side, you got to keep a guy in the chip. Got to go max protect. They run a 3-4. So, they have 4 linebackers and 3 down linemen. That's where he's playing. He could play defensive end if they went a 4-3, but he's playing linebacker. He's nasty. The rest of that team, they're okay. Eddie Goldman, the nose tackle. Bilal Nichols, one of the defensive ends. Roy Robertson Harris, the other. The linebackers, I mentioned Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan, Roquan Smith, good linebacker. Leonard Floyd. I like Kyle Fuller. He's one of their cornerbacks. Prince Amukamara, the other. Eddie Jackson, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, their safeties. That's a decent lineup. Coming off the year they had last year, where they won 12 games. To be 3-4, there's something wrong. And Matt Nagy last week, that was a disgrace. 41-yard kick and going into victory formation and saying after the game, it wasn't even a thought to run the football or throw the football there. Not even a thought. So worried about the turnover. Come on, bro. Nagy's local. He's embarrassing us. Embarrassing us. And what happens? He misses the kick. It goes just wide left. You move up 3 yards. That field goal's good. Eddie Pinera. They thought they upgraded from Cody Parkey. Remember, that kick was blocked last year, too, by the way. That's going in I forget his name, who blocked that kick, got his fingertips on it. That was a blocked kick. He gets killed for the double doink. It was a blocked kick. First one he made, but the Eagles called timeout. That's one of those situations that it actually worked. I'm going to go over some of the names, compare them with the Dallas Cowboys, and see who's got a brighter outlook going forward, what Howie has to do, what he can't do. We're going to cover that in a little bit and a whole lot more. I'm going to get into the Joel Embiid debacle, that fiasco. I'm really displeased with the Sixers star for what he did. Only hurting his team, but we'll talk about that on the other side. You want to chime in, Eagles, Bears, Eagles offense, Carson Wentz, whatever you want to talk about, all things Eagles, please give me a call. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stazak, coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are just over 24 hours away from Eagles and Bears tomorrow at the Link. The newest Eagle, Jannard Avery, will be taking the field. Defensive end, they brought in from the Cleveland Browns. 4.5 sacks his rookie year in a part-time role. According to Joe Banner, Eagles stole the guy. Okay, let's see it. To me, it's piecemeal. And that's fine. They have to improve in that area. But they had a chance to get Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm not going to let up on that. As long as this pass rush continues to struggle. And he did a nice job last week, but I don't think 1 week changes the overall production or lack thereof of that position group. It just doesn't, except for the Jets fiasco. They've been very disappointing this year. Very disappointing. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick behind the glass taking your calls. Doing a fine job producing this show today. I'm Joe Stazak here until 4 o'clock today. Let's head out to the phone line, shall we? Let's go to Sean and Olney. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Yes, sir. How you doing
today? How are you, my man?
Can you hear me okay?
I got you.
Yeah, I got you on speakerphone. All right, listen to this, though. Like, my Eagles, I love them to death. But we can't think we're going to go out here and beat the Bears and know we're going to get the win because it ain't that easy.
Oh, it's not easy at all. Now, they have to come and bring it tomorrow.
Yeah, they can't think they're going to just win because the Bears ain't playing that good. Now, last year in the playoff game, when you played them, right, Trubisky was a bad quarterback, the same quarterback that we're going to see tomorrow.
That's correct.
Is this quarterback going to be the same quarterback of last year, or is he going to be better? Now, everybody in the world thinking Trubisky is that bad. Next thing you know, he's throwing 20-yard bombs down the field, and we're like, oh, my God, what happened?
Well, you know, he's last in the league at throwing the ball through the air more than 10 or 15 yards, I think. He doesn't throw the deep ball too much, or Allen Robinson would be having a bigger year than he is. But, yeah, listen, Trubisky, he's not for me. I don't like him a little bit. I thought he was drafted way too early in college. He played 13 games, and people fell in love with him for – I have no idea why people fell in love with him. There were other teams wanting to take Trubisky, too. That's why the Bears went up to number two to take him. But, you know, his numbers aren't horrible, actually. But he hasn't won any games for him. To me, your franchise quarterback has to win you some games in close games, and he hasn't done that.
Now, look, small conversation, because I know you're going, and we ain't got time to be talking all day. Now, listen, now the Eagles with DeSean Jackson. Now, my take on it: leave him out. Don't leave him alone right now.
Why is that?
Because we don't need him for this game. We don't need him. We need him for the Patriots game. We don't need him for this game.
Well, it's a pretty good defense. Don't you think you need all hands on deck?
Nah, we don't need him for this game. Because if you think about it, our offense can score. And the Bears' defense is okay. So we can navigate that a little bit. I don't care if we win by 1 point. That's cool. But we need DeSean Jackson for the long term. Now, before you hang up, I know this. Now, to move on to another subject, I'm gonna leave the Eagles alone, because in my mind, I'm saying with the Eagles, I think that we gotta come out and we gotta make sure we play. Defense gonna be there. The offense is, because Trubisky, he don't throw no passes over 20 yards, so we good. You know what I'm saying on that aspect.
Yeah, you're not gonna see a cornerbacks get beat deep tomorrow, at least.
Yeah, you're not gonna see that.
And I'm hope not.
By the way, I'm a season ticket holder, so I'll be down there.
Cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Bring home a win, my man.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then the next thing, the 76ers with the Embiid thing. Why do we make like Embiid is walking around like he corporate America with a suit on and with a suit and tie on? He's a young person. He's young. See, I hate when we put athletes in the realm of showing them, like, we give them the status quo of you are corporate America. Well, he's not corporate America. He's a young man.
Real quick, because I gotta go. What do you mean by corporate America?
Because all the fans and people. All right, I'm gonna say when I say corporate America, the fans and the quote unquote fans that can afford to pay for the tickets that come down to the games, right?
Yeah.
They always look at the person and say, okay, I paid my money. I paid $300 to sit on the floor, and I respect this man. He's supposed to be this way. He's supposed to be that way. No, this man is a young man. He can make mistakes. He gonna be on the court. We want an aggressive team. We don't want no. We want to make sure that anybody that comes in our building is going to be a problem. We're going to make sure that anybody enter the core state.
Yeah,
Wells
right.
Fargo.
That was a while ago.
When they enter the Wells Fargo, when you come in here, we're going to make mistakes. You remember years ago when the Eagles used to have teams that came in here, they knew when they walked in that building, it was going to be a problem.
No, I understand, Sean. I got to go. It's been way over the time limit. Good call. I'm not exactly sure what he means by corporate America. I expect my guy to conduct himself in a professional manner. Yeah, you're going to get in a skirmish once in a while, but you just cost your team two games, or at least two games without you, and he's the star of the team. It's not Ben Simmons. It's not Tobias Harris. It's not Josh Richardson. It's not Al Horford. He's the star of the team, 23-10 this year so far in three games. Sixers, the only undefeated team in the NBA, 4-0. What happens if towards the end of the year or at the end of the year, you miss out on the number one seed and lose home court advantage because you lose by a game or two? Games that you could have won if Embiid was in the lineup. You know, and he's laughing afterwards and shadow boxing, and I just think it was stupid. It was stupid. It's a mistake. But here's the thing, because my man Sean just mentioned, you know, young guys make mistakes. They do. I don't know. He's going to learn from this. He talked about not trash talking on Twitter anymore, and he went right to it after the game. You know, and then he calls Carl Anthony Towns a schmussy and questions his manhood and blah, blah, blah. I would like to see him cut out the language. You're dealing with professional media members. They're conduits to the fan base, the fan base that contains a lot of kids. You know, he could clean that up very easily. He drops F-bombs half the time. Now he's dropping P-bombs. But my main problem is, if he got ejected from the game and that was it, I'm okay with that. You want to enforce your will. You want to be a Broad Street bully. They were up 20 points at the time. They won 70, or they were up 75 to 55 at the time. That's cool. You know, I'd rather see you not get ejected, but if you're going to get ejected and that's it, do it when you have a 20-point lead. But then, and I think that Kiki Vandeweghe, who is in charge of rendering discipline to these guys, gave them each two games because of what happened afterwards. Well, at least for Embiid, the shadow boxing, getting the fans, you know, trying to get the fans riled up, laughing afterwards, the stuff he said about Carl Anthony Towns in his press conference and on Twitter, you know, he kept it going. You get in a fight, let me see that angry face, and then walk to the locker room. You didn't throw any punches anyway. It's not like, you know, in a hockey fight, I've seen guys, you know, get the, you know, wave their arms, get the crowd going after the fighters are skating to the penalty box or to the dressing room. You know, if you pound the guy, you know, you knock him senseless. Blood all over the ice. He's laying there amidst like three trainers. As long as he's not seriously hurt. But yeah, okay. There were no punches thrown. The most serious thing I saw was Ben Simmons in a chokehold with Carl Anthony Towns. And the refs thought it didn't deserve any, you know, repercussions because they thought Ben Simmons was acting as a peacemaker. And he probably was, but it certainly didn't look like it. Carl Anthony Towns is trying to get up and Simmons is on top of him and he has him in a chokehold. I think they're lucky Simmons didn't get anything for that. But to me, Embiid, he's got to grow up a little bit. He is a young man. He's got to grow up. He's got to grow up. We saw a lot of things last year that were just, you know, you shake your head. They need him on the court. All right? That just cost your team two games without you for no reason. Why? Because you got tangled up. Your arms got tangled. Jockeying for position when the ball was down the other end of the court. I just think it was stupid. I think it was senseless. And I think he needs to grow up a little bit. We'll talk about that more on the other side. If you want to chime in about that, let's do it. But we are talking Eagles today, Eagles and Bears, and what's in store for the Birds. And I do want to go over, I want to compare them to the Dallas Cowboys and what's in store in the next few years for each team. I'm Joe Stazak. I'm here till 4 o'clock today on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
43-yard attempt from the right hash mark. And oh, he hits the upright again. That's impossible. And the Eagles run out onto the field.
How great was that? Never gets old. Never gets old. The double doink. And Cody Parkey gets killed over that. It was actually Trayvon Hester who blocked the kick. It was a blocked kick. Hard to fault the kicker on that, although he had hit multiple goal posts that year in other games. He makes the first kick, but there was a timeout called. Sometimes that works against you, guy misses the kick after you call timeout, and then he hits the second one. Here he makes the first kick, and Trayvon Hester comes through, gets his fingertips on the ball, changes the trajectory of the ball right into the left upright, then off the crossbar. Oh, that was beautiful stuff. After Nick Foles drove the team down, 12 plays, 75 yards, Golden Tate, touchdown on fourth down. Talk about the drama. Nick Foles, baby, doing it again, bringing his team back. Almost did it against New Orleans. Alshon gets away much too easily for dropping that pass, too. He never got killed over that. That's why he should keep his mouth shut. If he was the anonymous guy talking in the locker room to the reporter, that's horrible. Dude, what are you complaining about? You dropped the ball that could have cost your team a chance to get to the NFC title game. It's not to the level of Bill Buckner, because that was in the World Series. That was game six. It was an important ball. And not only did you drop it, it turned into an interception. So you better not be the anonymous guy talking to Josina Anderson. You need to keep your mouth shut for a while. Everyone went real easy on you for dropping that pass. Why? Because you played well in the Super Bowl. I didn't. I criticized you, you know, tremendously for dropping that ball. That's a ball you need to catch. It's not the third game of the season against the Jets. It's the divisional round of the playoffs against the Saints. And you have a chance, your team is driving, to put your team up. They were down 19-14 at the time. Who knows if Drew Brees takes his team down and scores on the last drive. I don't know that. Can't say if he would or he wouldn't. Chances are, maybe a good chance he would, but we don't know. What I do know is the Eagles' last drive stopped, was thwarted by an interception caused by a dropped pass by Alshon Jeffrey, and it was not a hard catch. Went right through his hands. He's also the one who was claiming he had the best hands in the league earlier in the season. There's a guy who needs to shut up. He needs to shut his mouth. See how karma comes around? You're touting your hands. You drop an easy ball. Aguilar doesn't even drop balls like that. And then, you know, you're complaining about, I don't know what you're complaining about, because the anonymous quote was about checkdowns. Usually receivers would not opt for checkdowns. That means you don't throw the ball downfield and you maybe look for your running back out of the backfield. Or a shorter, simpler play if you're under heat. So I never got that. A little bit. And then he says even Peyton Manning knew when to check down. Yeah, it was bizarre. Hope it wasn't him. He's a guy who needs to keep his mouth shut. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Lou in West Philly on 97.5. What's up, Lou?
What's up, Lou? How you doing?
All right, man.
Well, I just wanted to, first off, the, okay, hold on. Just give me 1 second. The birds tomorrow. You know, I think that if the defense starts off strong, comes off to a strong start, that will be okay. You know, I mean, I know that the offense has been a little bit shaky, but I feel like if the defense goes out there and infuses the team with some energy, that will be good. So I'm not really concerned about Mitch Trubisky. I mean, you know, I don't think that the Bears really use him in the right way anyway. So I think that if we start off strong, if we win the coin toss, we should send our defense out on the field first.
I agree.
Yes, yes, yes. But also, I wanted to just touch on Embiid real quick.
Sure.
I love Embiid. I love Embiid's game.
I love him too.
But I agree with you 100%. And it actually kind of took me a little while to get to that point, just because I like his game so
sure,
much.
I do too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, but the more and more that I look at this guy and I see him put himself and the team He's selfish is what it is.
That was a selfish play. It was. You're right.
It's very selfish. And I agree. Like, you know, listen, you're not getting expensive and all that. But all the extra, like, Hulk Hogan, type of stuff, that's what probably gave him the two games.
It did. It certainly aided it. Yep.
And then the other thing is that, like, when I really look back in the history of all sports, I look at, like, the makeup of the best athletes that ever have done it, and I can't really think of any. The closest I could come to was, like, Shaq, that kind of did that kind of stuff, but not really. He really didn't. Like, when you were a kid, he was totally different. Like, now, talking garbage off of the court, and actually, I think Shaq is actually doing it more now.
Yeah, he does it more now.
When he was on the court, his face was just like, you know, like if you look at all the greats, Tom Brady, any of these guys, they're not all around. It's so focused on the game that all the extracurricular. Who has time for that?
That's right, Lou. I appreciate it, man. You were kind of going in and out, so I had to let you go. But, yeah, I agree. You need to be focused on the game. You need to be dialed in on the game. I don't think bully ball that Brett Brown said he wanted his team to play at the beginning of the year, I don't think he meant that. I mean, I think he meant, you know, hard defensively. Nothing easy. That was just a play. It was an isolated play on the other end of the court. And, yeah, I thought it was selfish. What did you think was going to happen? This isn't hockey where they give you 10 minutes or for misconduct or 5 minutes for fighting. You know, rarely you get ejected. And unless you do something egregious, you're not getting suspended. In the NBA, they don't mess around. You get in a fight, you're gone. Reese in Philly on 97.5 The Thunder. What's up, Reese?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, man.
Long time, first time caller.
Thank you.
I'm actually one of the guys that worked in the building at One Baller.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely a big fan. Sorry about the noise, but definitely a big fan.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
I wanted to talk about Carson Wentz and all this mess about him. I think people are being a little overboard with him, too critical. You're talking about a guy that right now completing over 60% of his passes. He's 14-4 for the year in terms of touchdown-interception ratio.
Yep.
He's what, almost 2,000 yards? So he's on pace for about 30 or 32 touchdowns, 8 to 10 interceptions, and a 4,000-yard season. And we're complaining about him as if he's the problem.
No, he's not the problem, but I'd like to see my franchise guy do more. Let's put it that way. He's been fine. Nothing wrong with his game. In fact, his quarterback rating over 8 games is 94. And the 14-4, I think, is important. He doesn't turn the ball over too much. Fumbles once in a while. That Dallas game was a mess. But I just like to see him do more. I need to see him be a superstar.
Right. I agree. And I think sometimes superstars, you know, they make mistakes. You know, we're 4-4 instead of being 3-5 because Aaron Rodgers made the mistake of not holding on to the ball for extra half a second and hitting a wide-open guy in the corner. Instead, he threw it to a guy that was double-teamed. So even the best of the best backs make mistakes. I just think that called in are a little overcritical. Like, he's going to make mistakes. He's not going to be perfect, but he's our guy. He's our franchise guy. He's a hell of a quarterback. And, you know, he's perfect in the red zone. What, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions in the red zone? He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league on third downs. I mean, this is our guy. All right, he's not going to be perfect, but I just think, you know, some people that call in, they're just a little overcritical. That's all.
Yeah, I agree with you, Reese. I think he takes too much. Although he's a quarterback, you're going to get, you know, maybe an over abundance of glory when you win, and you're going to get hammered when you lose. They'll throw darts at you, as Donovan McNabb said on the Farsetta and Trey show earlier this week. You know, you'll get your praise if you do well, but man, you start doing something wrong, especially in this town, you're getting hammered. And again, he hasn't been bad. I just like to see him. I consider him the superstar, or I expect him to be a superstar. Am I expecting too much? I don't know. He was a superstar in 2017. He was the second overall pick in 16. Eagles gave up a king's ransom to get him, going from 13-8-2. I expect him to play like a superstar. And by the way, this might sound funny, I think they need to pass the ball more. talk about that on the other side. I'm Joe Stasak here to 4 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Marcus Hayes coming up at 1:10, and we'll take more of your calls. 610-632-0975. Coming right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.